And St. John tells us that they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The crowds seemed to know something about this Jesus as they found him riding on the back of Zechariah's prophecy that eventful week of the Passover. Something that even though they should have been the ones to know, not even the religious leaders could comprehend. And this is where an interesting question has always arisen. I've actually had my mind maybe not changed, but at least pricked a little bit. Because I have long said that the very same people who welcomed Jesus in on Sunday were the very same people who were calling for his death by Friday. The song we just sung kind of suggests that, and certainly probably there were. As we know, Jesus was well known, especially as John tells us, because of the miracle he had just performed with Lazarus, with Bethany only being a couple miles away from Jerusalem. And so I am sure that some of the people who gathered on that Palm Sunday, who maybe even were waving their palms in the air, were there only because to see who this miracle man was. And as we know, as crowds and mobs do, they are often swayed and led to various ideas from leaders. And so I'm sure, once again, when this Jesus was paraded through the city of Jerusalem from the council, from Caiaphas' house to the praetorium or the headquarters where Pilate was, there were people who were brought up because they wanted to see what was going on. But one thing is, I've read other people say, there really is no evidence of that. That the same people were there Sunday and Friday. And we do know, as we heard the text, there were some people still by Friday on Jesus' side. And so sure, there were probably some who got swept up in the emotion of Sunday and Friday. It is also just as likely that those who were there welcoming and singing Jesus in on Sunday were doing there not because of the crowds, but because of faith, because they truly believed that Jesus was none other than their righteous and saving King, which would not have them there yelling crucify a few days later. And we know that there's people who supported Jesus because from their account from Mark today, even at the 11th hour, the enemies of Jesus barely could scrape together two witnesses who could accuse Jesus of the same crime. Finally setting on a vastly misunderstood word of Jesus concerning the temple and his 3 days rebuilding. But even there, they did not agree, we are told. But finally, Caiaphas, the high priest that year, actually hit the nail right on the head. And actually, as he demanded for Jesus to answer one simple yet monumental question, he asked the right question. The question that actually reveals why this Jesus did die by Friday. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the Father, the Son of God, he asked. And even though Jesus had so far just stood there letting the scorn of the world be spat upon him, responding the way as only a gracious God could. Yet here, when he was asked openly and plainly, we might say he had to answer. Because now with his answer, they would have no excuse, nor the world would, for unbelief. I am, Jesus said, ego eimi, as it is in the Greek. The same I am that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life and the way and the truth. The very words he had once spoken to Moses from a burning bush on the slopes of Sinai, I am who I am. Which is why then, after this, he would only, we find him speaking again to reveal himself as the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of Man, the sacrificial given to bear the sins of the world. And so before the Jews, he answered it, and then before Pilate, we find him, you have said so. And in the other Gospels, it's the same. When speaking of the facts of who he was and what he had come to do, Jesus would not and could not remain silent. Even when he was speaking from the cross, his seven last words, everything said was to declare not only who he was, but what he had come to do. That from forgiving sins to crying out from Psalm 22, as we heard, every utterance from Jesus' mouth from Thursday night to Friday afternoon was done to call the world to come, to look, to believe unto whom he truly was. For it must be reminded always that Jesus' death was not the result of the misjustice of religious pride. His wasn't the outcome of governmental persecution of the church. He wasn't the happenstance of societal injustice of executing a good man. No. The death of Jesus Christ was the work of God himself. No one took his life. He laid it down willingly and willfully. In his grand Christ hymn to the Philippians, Paul lays it out clearly here today. It was the plan and work of God to take upon himself the flesh of us fallen men, emptying himself under the wrath and penalty of sin all the way to an empty grave. And he did it for the sole purpose that after a three-day fill, he would now create a new way and life and world for all to find, as with faith in him as your Savior, a life to be lived in hope today and joy forever. And so on this day, when the crowds did welcome him atop a donkey with shouts of Hosanna, whether there was likely the mixture of believers and unbelievers in this, they were unknowingly foreshadowing all of them, as did the chief priests and even Pilate himself, foreshadowing where he would leave this city atop his cross from. Because Hosanna means, save him, Lord. And that's precisely what the Father would do. That as the Son would cry out his last breath, he did so trusting in the Father, knowing that regardless of what he entered, the light of Easter was on its way. Because that is the true understanding of when we say of Jesus' obedience and fulfilling of the law. For Jesus kept the first commandment, first and foremost, fearing, loving, trusting in the Father above all things, even to the very bitter end, dying as the very first person ever who lived and died in a faith that looked to no one other than his God, even as he declared his God had forsaken him. Yet Jesus held firm to that word he heard. Both that word that he'd heard from eternity within the Trinitarian Godhead and that word he heard in the Jordan that this was the beloved Son, the Christ who had come to take away the sins of the world. And so Jesus clung to that promise, knowing that regardless of the hell he would soon be entering, because hell is being forsaken by God, he know yet he would be called forth to rise again, defeating the power of sin and death, because he had let his innocent body and blood atone for the entire sin of the world. And your sin was included there at Calvary. And so we sing, this is our only song of love. And this is why now today we move from palms to passion on this Holy Week. For you too join those crowds that once gathered both at the beginning and at the end. And you join in the crowds of faith. Because you know that what saves you isn't merely the death of Christ, but your faith in his death. Your faith in him. Your faith that foremost confesses that it was your sin that placed him there on the cross. For mine the tomb wherein he lay, we sing. And that is what this entire week is really all about. It's why I encourage you to gather daily, to hear and to pray. Because everything about your faith we hold, the faith you hold, is found, revealed, and expressed in these next 8 days. And it's right to daily bend our knee in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, because we're doing it to the Savior who only thought there was for you condemned creatures, dying for you, rising for you, calling you to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, because it is a peace that calls you to now rest even in the midst and in the presence of your enemies. For you see, this Jesus that died is your Lord. He was given to you all to the glory of God the Father. And that is why all we can really say this week, beginning with today, is Amen. Yes, it shall be so. That truly this man was the Son of God, as the centurion said. Amen.